Hi everyone, and welcome to InCred Singapore this morning. Thank you for joining us. Before I go into the word this morning, there are a few things I want to share with you. One of these things being that we are having a prayer on Tuesday, our bi-weekly prayer. This is going to be taking place on Zoom at 7:30 to 8 o'clock. So it's about half an hour prayer where we as a church encourage all of us to come together, pray for the situation of COVID-19 in Singapore and around the world, as well for our own church and our own church members. So I encourage you, if you have nothing else at that point of time, no other obligations, to come and join us for a 30-minute prayer. And I also want to make a mention that as a church, we started our financial year at the beginning of April, and we actually started it online. We've been online since the end of March. And we made a commitment as a church for this budget year to give 10% of our yearly tithes that come into our church, into good work, which is also in line with our mission of being a blessing to the community and the nations. And of those 10%, so far we have already given off it about 22,000 Singapore dollars, which have gone into two different organizations, one of them being AMICU Family Service Center, into a family fund that they have to help families and people during this COVID-19 crisis. And it's to support low-income families that may experience loss of income during this time, as well as to help people that may come from a low-income family or have low-income job to have their daily essentials. And another thing that we have supported is Breakthrough Mission, which is helping drug addicts to be free from their addiction and helping ex-convicts to be to get back into the work life. And they have a rehabilitation program, which is free of charge for those drug addicts and so on, so where they come in and where they are being trained also at the same time in a lot of different skills to be able to go back into the work life once they have come through their both broken free from their addiction and come through into a better place to be reinstated into the society's life. And the wonderful thing as well is that as they come into this program, they're also introduced to Christ, and many of them give their lives to Christ. So it's a wonderful thing to see what is being done there as well. And we have also given about 150 masks into Singapore United to help different parts of Singapore where the need is during this time for masks like this. And as you also know, at the beginning of the, when the crisis started in Singapore, we also gave into two other organizations as well to help during this time. So it's wonderful. I want to give you an update as a church, as you are a part of this, and we are all together in this of being a salt and a light to the world around us during this time. And so it's important that we continue as well to pray for the situation and pray for Singapore and pray for the world. But before I will show you a short video, but I would like to open up with a prayer as well. Thank you, Father God. Father, we praise you and worship you. We thank you that we can come together in your name and that we can lift you up this Sunday morning. Lift up your name, because your name is greater than any other name and your name is higher than any other name, Jesus. And Lord, I just pray for every single home, every single person listening this morning. May you come in and usher in your presence. May you usher in your joy, usher in your goodness, Lord. We thank you and we worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So I will show you a short video before I share the word. Thank you.
Light is something that we need. And in our everyday walk, sometimes we may take light even for granted. But without light, we would probably walk into walls, or we would run around without knowing where we're going because nothing has been lighted up in our paths. So we may take light for granted, but however, if you imagine a world without a light, it would be a very difficult place to live out. And Matthew 5:13-16 tells us, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by man. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before man that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." You know, as believers, this is one of those Bible verses that many of us are so familiar with. But we find in it that God is calling you and me to be a salt and a light to the world. But when we look at that sentence, be a salt and a light, what does that really mean in our everyday walk? What does that mean in our relation to people around us? But what is so interesting about God is that God never asks us to be anything or do anything that is not already found in Him. For example, when God says, "You are the light of the world," He doesn't say, "You have the possibility to be light. You have options to choose to be the light of the world." But He actually says, "You are the light of the world." It's a command. It's something that He has already made you and me as believers to be. And as I said, when God asks us to be light, we also see that it's rooted in His character as well. And 1 John 1:5 tells us, "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all." So, with other words, when we look at the character of God, you know, we sometimes hear God is love. Love is not only found in Him, but it's a part of His essence. It's a part of who He is. And here the Bible tells us God is light, as is a part of His character. He carries that essence as a part of who He is. So, if God is light and He calls us to be light, that means that the more we learn about Him, the more we draw close to Him, the more we understand who He is and spend time with Him, the more of that characteristic will also take place in our lives. And that God is light means that, you know, light is something that represents what is good, right? It represents something pure. It represents something true and holy and something that is reliable. Light, when it shines in the midst of a darkness, it can make such a difference. I mean, the moment we find ourselves in a darkened room and suddenly there is like a small light that comes in, it makes all the difference for us to be able to see what is around us. Even the smallest light can show us what is around in our surrounding. So in 1 John, it emphasizes the very fact that God is light and is a part of who He is, and that there is no darkness in Him. There is no sin. There is no evil, but it's just light. There is goodness, and there is no sin found in Him. Therefore, as believers, being called to be the light and the salt of the world, we cannot walk in darkness. We cannot hide in corners. But our faith and who we are in God is supposed to be demonstrated to people around us. And that light, if it's not put under a basket, or if it's allowed to light up a room, people will see it and people will be attracted to it. So as God being light exposes what is true and what is good, you and me as believers as well are called to be that light and expose what is true and what is good according to God and the Bible. And when we look at the qualities of salt, because the Bible says, be salt and be light, we find as well that a part of God, even though the Bible doesn't say God is salt, so don't misunderstand me, but it says all the time, it shows all the time how God preserves His people. You know, what are the qualities of salt? And looking at the time that Jesus was bringing the saying into life, you know, the people at that time did not have refrigerators. They were not able to cool down all of their things the way that you and me can do today. But salt was so important. It was an important possession to have in order to preserve food from getting bad. So when Jesus is telling us, be salt of the world, we are to preserve it from getting bad, from going further into the ways of the evil one. And as I said before, when God asks something of us, we also see that characteristic in Him, that He always preserves His people. He always preserved Israel, even though there were trying times and things got difficult, but He always preserved them. And the same thing as we look upon our lives as believers today, we also find how much of God's promises are about His protection, preserving us, keeping us away from the world, and how that was Jesus' prayer as well, that even though they're in this world, but let them not be of this world. Let them not live like this world. So the more we walk with God, the more we draw off His characteristic in our lives. And going back to Matthew 5:14-16, that speaks about the light. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So the encouragement of Jesus is that the light that has been given to us, I mean, as we look upon the Bible time and time again, we see who is the light. Jesus is the light of the world. But it's through us as believers, as Jesus is in heaven right now. It's through us that He has given us the possibility to be lights for Him. As we walk this earth, we present Him in our doings, in our behavior, in the way that we treat people. And it can be done in different ways. You know, at the beginning of this service, I spoke about how we as a church give into different things to help people. And that's one of those ways that we can do in order to let the light of Christ shine through us. But there is something about when we look even at the Old Testament and throughout the New Testament, the purpose of light and what it represents through different passages and different ways according to how God spoke and what God did through the nation of Israel. And what is so interesting is that one of those things where we see the purpose of light was in the tabernacle. You know, many of you have heard of the tabernacle or the temple. And when God was giving the instructions of what should be placed into the tabernacle, one of those things that He wanted to be placed there and to be built for, to be a part of what should be found in there, was a golden lampstand. And the golden lampstand would just stand just outside the Holy of Holies. You know, as we look upon the temple and we look upon the tabernacle, there was a place where the Holy of Holies was, where God was to be found. And you would find, as Leviticus 24:1-4 tells us, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring to you pure oil or pressed olives for the light. to make the lamps burn continually outside the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of meeting. Aaron shall be in charge of it from evening until morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall be in charge of the lamps on the pure gold lampstand before the Lord continually. So the lampstand or the golden lampstand was put just outside the Holy of Holies. And it was supposed to be lighted all the time. And the purpose of it was so the priests were able to do all their duties and see what they needed to do, have light enough to be able to do what was some of their duties. And So the lampstand provided light for the priestly functions before God. And what is so interesting is that when we look upon the meaning of the lampstand, because so much in the Old Testament draws meaning to something that was kind of foreshadowing what was to come, foreshadowing Jesus, foreshadowing the cross, foreshadowing Messiah's death and Messiah's coming and His reign. And as we look upon the lampstand, there are different scholars have different explanations. Some believe that it stands for the Word of God that lightens up our path and gives direction to our life. Others speak of it as representing the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who would be the light of the world. But I think that no matter which one of these explanations we see, we find at the end of the day in John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So at the end of the day, Jesus became, the Word became flesh. So no matter how we look upon it, it represented that light that was gonna, that through God's leading was going to be a light to the world and was going to be a light to humanity, and that whoever would come to that light would have their lives changed, would have a salvation and be given a new standing before God. So even in the Old Testament, we see the meaning of light and how it was representing the ways of God. And how when the Word of God or through the life of Jesus Christ, when we put our attention to it and we believe in it and allow the Word to speak to us or come to the Lord as our Savior, there is a new path that is set before us and there is something that is lighting up before us. And what is so interesting in all of that is that when we go to the New Testament, we find in Revelations 1 and 12, "Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw the seven golden lampstands." So this is John seeing a vision. And as he sees a vision, again, there is golden lampstands. And what were those golden lampstands? Revelation 1 and 20 tells us, "The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels, are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches." So as we look upon again, the golden lampstands, it represents something. It represents the light. And this time, the golden lampstands in this passage is speaking about the light of the seven churches. You know, if you look upon Revelation, the book of Revelations, it is written to the seven churches, to seven churches to bring a message across to them. And in this case, those churches are put into a relation of lampstands. They're supposed to shine bright so that the light of Christ can come to people, so that they don't hide their light under a basket, but they allow the light to be brought up and to be visual to people around them. So again and again, And as we look on that passage as well, you know, many scholars believe those candlesticks, those golden lampstands, are connected to the lampstands or kind of going back to the Old Testament of the lampstands found in the temple, which again is speaking of the light of God, speaking of God's way being represented to us, being represented to humanity, and for us, in order for us to walk the way that He has called us to. So, as a church and as believer, we are called to be the light of Christ. We are called to shine for Him. And if ever there was a time to shine for Him, within the people that we meet or don't meet in person, but meet through social media, or, you know, as we reach out to friends during this time, if there was ever a time to shine for Him in our personal relationship with people, it is now. But also, as a church, that we can be a light. We can be a light to the community. We can be a light by doing our part so that those that are in need, those that are in desperation, can see that there is a light at the tunnel. There is a way through it. There is a way out. And it's so interesting that as we look upon the world today, the church has been forced to go online. The church has been forced to have, as people have been saying, the church has not been closed down, but it's rather gone into every home. And, you know, during those COVID-19 crisis, I think the church even shines brighter because it's so available to anybody that wants to listen. All of our services are out there, the messages are out there, the Bible studies or whatever it is that every church is doing during this time. I see that even in the midst of that, how God still raises up His church to be a pillar of light, a golden lampstand that stands out and sticks out so that people can see that there is a way and there is a truth that if they only choose to believe, they can come to God and have a forgiveness of their sins. But we have to know that we are not the light. Only Jesus is the light. But we are called to represent Him. And John 8:12 speaks of Jesus. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of light. So if you look upon the image, for example, of a beacon or a lighthouse, you know, when the lighthouse shines during the storms, during the very difficult weathers, it has the ability to bring ships back to safety. And because once the light goes out there, there is more clarity of vision for the boats to be able to navigate the stormy seas. And if that is in the picture for the church and you and me as a believer, then I don't know what is. Because that's so true when it comes to you and me. That when our light shines and when we allow it to shine, when we choose to get out of a comfort zone to bring hope to someone, it can make such a difference. And we don't always know what people are going through. Sometimes people put on this very, very like a thick mask, where they don't want anybody to see how vulnerable they are or how difficult their life is at this moment of time. And they act like everything is okay. But even in, you know, but only God may know what are the struggles they have at that time. But for you and me as believers, to choose to still give them Christ, that if the Lord urges us, if the Lord reminds us of something or gives us a word of encouragement to them, that we don't just look at the outer appearance, we don't just look at their faces or their mask, but we choose to bring the word in there. You know, I'm just reminded of a story that I heard from a minister. And this minister is a lady. She was going on an airplane. And she was so happy. She was tired. She just wanted to get into her seat, fall asleep, and just relax for the remaining of the journey. And then comes in this lady with like beautiful, beautiful hair, beautiful red hair, and like very beautiful lady walked in the into the airplane. But she had this temper, and her grumpiness could be so visual to the people in the plane. And she had a lot of attitude to the flight attendants and so on. And she just remembers thinking in her seat, please don't come and sit next to me. Please, please, God, I ask you, don't let her sit next to me. And of course, the seat that this lady had was next to this minister. And as she sat into the seat, she could just sense the tension, you know, how, yeah, she could just sense the negative attention from this lady. And then she could just feel the Holy Spirit within her say, ask her how she's doing. And she was like, God, that's not the question I have on my mind right now. That's not a chance I'm going to ask. And then again, just the Holy Spirit said, ask her how she's doing. So she kind of like got out of her comfort zone and said, okay, so how are you? I'm fine. Okay, God, you see, she's fine. But then the Holy Spirit just came back and said, ask her again. So she had to get out of her comfort zone again and say, but how are you really? And in that moment, the lady just started to break down. Tears started to come down her chins. And she started to open up about all of the struggles she's been through. Disease that she had been struggling with and been going from doctor to doctor. And she was just so exhausted and tired. And in that moment, that minister had a chance to minister into her life by being obedient to answering the call of God. So sometimes people come across as very like they have it all together. There is no reason to check in on me or no reason to ask me how I'm doing or try to show me some care. But with the wisdom of God, the most proud people, the most, where hearts are hardened, if with the wisdom of God and a word from God, things can change and the light can come in and the salt can come in to preserve their lives and bring them back to Christ. So we are the light and the salt of this earth. And when we look upon one of those things, if we look upon the benefits of light, what are the benefits of it? You know, light shows something that is hidden. Light reveals. Just like in this story with this lady and the minister that I mentioned. You know, as soon as the light came, it revealed something. And sometimes people are not aware of where they are heading. They are not aware of the situation that is right in front of them. And they need a light to be shined to their path so that they are able to stay away from things that are going to bring their life down or lead them into a path that will be hard to get back from. And as Ephesians 5:13 tells us, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. So again and again, that power of light. And if you think about yourself for a moment, you are light of the world. Because Jesus didn't say you can't be light of the world, but you are light of the world. That's already because the one who is the true light lives within you. And we need to be people that choose to speak about Jesus Christ and help people to know that if they continue a path without Jesus Christ in their heart, there will at the end of it not be eternal life. But the Bible speaks about eternal death. And I know I've spoken about Lester Sumrall so many times before and I've shared this story, but I just found it so fitting with this message. Because Lester Sumrall was a preacher that traveled all over the world. And he was born in 1913. But when he was a teenager or a young man, he became very sick. And he was close to death. But on his deathbed, God came to him in a vision, and he gave him two choices. He showed him that what waited him without him was death, and it was death. But with him, on the other side, if he chose to give his life to him, serve him, God showed him that he would live, and that he would come to serve him and serve him full time. So with those two choices, he chose God, and he chose to serve God. But as he started ministry, he didn't really love people. He didn't care for them. He didn't shine a lot of light around people. But when he started preaching, people would make fun of him. People would, at the beginning of his ministry, he was ministering to a lot of people like farmers and so on. And they would sit in his meeting, they would spit on the floor, you know, they would have all kinds of habits that he wasn't so used to. And he got so annoyed with them that during some of his first services, he didn't even ask for altar call because he couldn't care. He even told people, I'm only preaching because if I don't preach, I think I might die. And I'm preaching to keep myself alive. So he was kind of rough around the edges when he was starting. But then one day, you know, as he had preached the gospel and as he had preached the word of God in different places, one day God just came to him in a vision again. And as he saw the vision, he saw like the different nationalities of people all over the world. And there was this big highway. And as the people were walking through the highway, they all kind of didn't know where they were heading. They were kind of walking in blindness. But as he saw in the vision, when he came to the end of the highway, there was just this big gap. In a sense that people were just, if they fell over to their damnation. There was nothing carrying them. There was nothing able to bring them back. And he could see how when the people came to the end of the line, the fear in their eyes, the awareness that they could not turn back. And as the people were pressing, they were pressing one another. So there was no turning back once you came to the end of that highway. And God told him in that moment, if you don't preach the gospel, some of those people will not hear about me and will not have a way to come to me. But if you preach the gospel as I have called you to, you will be able to lead them on the right path back to me and into my kingdom. And in that moment, something changed in his life. That instead of just preaching for the sake of preaching, he started preaching with that desire to see people get saved. With that desire to see people's lives changed. And he started to preach the gospel, and he started to lead so many thousands of people to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But God had to take him to a place where he had to realize when you allow the light to shine through you, that light can shine and open up the eyes of the people that are on their way to hell and to eternal damnation to be able to turn around before it's too late. And that's one of those things that we can see in the meaning of what does it mean to be salt and light. It means exactly that. That when we allow the Spirit of God, when we allow Jesus to shine through us, when we choose to live a life that glorifies Him, that represents Him, people will be able to say, okay, I know where I'm heading, and I don't want to head there any longer. I will turn around. I will give my life to Christ, and their destination will be turned forever to eternity. So light reveals. Light also guides. And I think that is so relevant to today's society. I mean, so many people may be losing hope at this point of time, losing their jobs, losing, getting pay cuts, not knowing when they can start their jobs again, not knowing if they have job when they start, when everything gets back to how it or similar to what it used to be. So if there ever has been a time to really share the love of Christ, it is today. And as I said so many times before, sharing Christ doesn't have to be too complicated. And the greatest and strongest evangelism we can have is a friendship evangelism. Because when a person has observed your life, they see that you don't only talk, but you walk the talk. They see the favor of God. They see the love that you represent to others around you. That trust, for a person that has that trust and has built up that trust in a relationship between two individuals, it is so much easier to take that step and give their life to Christ, being led by someone that they have faith in. Light also reflects. And if there is something we should reflect as believers, it's the love that we have received from God. It's the grace that we have received from God. Why should we judge someone when Christ hasn't judged us, but has taken our judgment of sin on Him? Of course, we will stand before Him on the day of judgment and being accountable for the work that we have done for Him. But we won't be sent to hell if Jesus Christ has become our Lord and Savior. So the very thing that He has done in our lives should also be reflected from us to the lives of others. And the same with salt. You know, I'm sure you have heard the saying, can you pass the salt? And I think as believers, we need that in our lives. I think we need more of that saying in our lives. In a sense that, we are the salt of the earth, but that salt needs to be passed on to others. That salt needs to affect other people around us. And as said before in this preaching, salt preserves. It preserves food. It adds flavor as well. And salt doesn't have very much use if it's only in the salt shaker. It needs to get out. It needs to influence. It needs to come on the food in order to add flavor to it. So we are to preserve the godliness in our culture. We are to preserve the godliness and the biblical way of living in our workplace and around us. And, you know, when we look at, for example, society, what are the very things that oftentimes when we look at the culture and the society around us, when families are strong, society doesn't decline as much. But as soon as families start to be splitted, we start to see more divorce, we start to see, you know, that people are cheating on one another and all of those things, it also starts to get into the society in a sense that, you know, we lose the principles, we lose the healthiness of the society. And the same thing with us as believers. We are to preserve the society around us. We are to preserve the culture that God has given us. And even though everybody else may be living differently around us, it doesn't give us the right to compromise and get down on that level. But we are to be a salt that adds flavor, that adds the flavor of the goodness of God, that adds the flavor of the love of God, that adds the flavor of the principles that God has given us. And that in everything that we touch, every life that we meet, that we can leave that good flavor of God. We can leave that love of God. We leave something behind with them. So, our way of life is so important in the way that we represent Christ. And we need to realize that our light, as Jesus said, cannot be hidden under the basket. It needs to be brought out. It needs to be put to light. People need to be able to see it. And And it says in 2 Corinthians 2:15, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." With other words, we are the light and the salt, but also as the things that we should leave with people is the fragrance of Christ. People, it's kind of, what kind of fragrance are we leaving behind when we leave a meeting, or what kind of fragrance are we leaving behind when we leave a gathering? Because sometimes people, I believe as believers, we may often hear, oh, there is such a nice presence that comes with you. There is something different about you. And, you know, when me and Christopher one time, we went for a hike, a mountain hike in Sweden. And after every evening, you would sleep in those mountain cabins, or there was a lot of other people there as well. And in the evening, you would be able to share a meal with some of the people. And there was this one couple, a couple that was there. And we had never met them before, and we just sat beside them together with so many others. And there was just something within me that said, these people must be believers. There was nothing they said. There was nothing. There was just that presence with them that just made me think they must be believers. But I didn't feel like in the midst of that gathering to ask for the first time meeting them, "Are you Christians?" So I left it. But I had that, wow, because it's not always, it's not every day you experience such a, so strongly that somebody is a believer that you meet for the first time without knowing them anything. And it was so interesting that a couple of weeks later we would meet that exact same couple in a conference in Sweden, Christian conference. So all of my doubts could be taken away knowing that they were Christians. And I think that, you know, as I said, it was nothing they said, it was nothing they did. I would say it was in a sense that fragrance, that light, something about their lives just told me they must be believers. And that is what you and me are called to as we represent Christ in this society. The closer we draw ourselves to God and the more we live in that life with God, oftentimes just by the way of being, just by the presence alone, people will know something is different about this individual. And as we live out the life with Christ, we need to carry that fragrance with us. We need to carry that light. Light up the path for people. Being a salt that preserves the culture around us, preserves the Christian principles in our families, that can influence other families. And at the same time, you know, not losing sight of that we are here on this earth to lead people to Christ. And if there ever has been a time to lead people to Christ in this setting that we find ourselves today, I believe so many people are finding themselves in a difficult situation. And then we just think and pray, "Lord God, is there anyone in my surrounding that I need to encourage today? Is there anyone in my surrounding that I can lead to Christ that you need me to just check in on, pray with, whatever it is?" Because the Lord has wisdom for you. And maybe when you ask that person, "How are you doing?" and they say, "I'm good, I'm fine," maybe the Lord will say, "Ask another time, ask again." And when you ask again, "How are you really doing?" maybe the very thing that comes out of their mouth, "Actually, I'm not doing so well." And in that openness, you will get an opportunity to say, "Okay, may I just pray with you? Can I pray with you right now, right here?" Or start encouraging them with word of hope into their situation. So let's not get weary of giving Christ. Let's not get weary of believing for at least one soul to be saved this year through our lives. And not only for them to be saved, but to learn to know the Lord and walk with Him in their everyday life. Amen. Before I pray with us, or with you, I want to ask you this question. And maybe you've been listening this evening, this morning, and you have in your heart that you do not yet know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And because of that, you feel that loneliness. You feel that you don't have someone to look to, someone to seek strength from in time of needs or in times like this. And I just want to give you an opportunity, if that is you, to pray a prayer with me. And I will pray, and then you can repeat after me. And just invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. Because He wants to bring His love, His light, His compassion, and His life into you and your circumstances. Hallelujah, Jesus. So if I pray, you can repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I come before you this morning. I ask you to forgive me all of my sins. I believe that you are the risen Lord. I believe that you died on the cross for me. And this morning, I invite you to be Lord of my life. I thank you, Jesus, that I am your child now. And that my life is in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And if you prayed this prayer for the first time, do not hesitate to reach out to us through email or any other means so that we can continue to walk with you. But before we end today, let me pray a prayer together with all of us. Hallelujah, Father. Father, we praise you and we worship you. We thank you, Jesus, for your heart that is so, you have such a heart for the people that are lost. And Jesus, we just want to continue to pray for the people in our surrounding that we are believing for to receive Christ this year. Father, we just want to pray that this morning you come into their homes, you come into their families, and you just draw them a step closer to you. You draw them a step closer to knowing you, from giving their lives to you, Lord. And Father, we just pray. I pray for each and every one listening right now, God. I pray, Father God, that you give each and every one of them the strength and the boldness and the wisdom to give Christ to the people that you have put on their hearts, Lord. To not shy away from reaching out, but using every opportunity, God, to bring them closer to you, Lord. And Lord, I want to pray for those right now, Lord, that may have that sense of fear of sharing Christ with others. And I just pray right now, Father God, that you come into their lives and you bring that boldness and security to be able to share Christ with people around them. And Lord, we just pray every intimidation and fear that may keep any one of them away from sharing the Lord. In Jesus' name, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. Thank you so much, and God bless you.